is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and each week I investigate levels of consciousness that I feel are pushing our planet to a more aware state. Tonight's show is part of the investigations into the reality of UFOs, and they are a reality, and they're not going away, and it's time that the planet and people and politicians and governments recognize that this is a presence that is here and that people need to know about this. So tonight's guest is very much involved in the exopolitics movement. He's just written a book called Exposing U.S. Government Policies on Extraterrestrial Life. He's Michael Sala. Michael, you there?
Aloha, Ellen. Yes, I'm here.
I know you're there from Hawaii. So your new book coming out is called Exposing U.S. Government Policies on Extraterrestrial Life. Is that true?
That's right, yes. I go through various policies that the U.S. has implemented over six decades, and the policies run the full spectrum of what you would expect of a secret concerning extraterrestrial life that was decided that this would be kept from the public and also from the Congress and from the media.
I know. It gets into such complex detail about who's running the government and who's really in control. That's actually almost a bigger story than the fact that UFOs are here at all, don't you think?
Well, yeah, quite right. When we look at this phenomenon, the thing that really is interesting is how the power and control shifted very gradually from full executive control by the presidents under Truman and Eisenhower, slipped into the hands of the military-industrial complex, and then even eluded the military, who now have been kind of sidelined to an extent, and it's these transnational corporations that really run the show.
So you think then that after Roswell, of course, Truman knew about it, Eisenhower, and then with Kennedy, there was already the takeover from Eisenhower to Kennedy that shut down any public knowledge about this. Is that what you're saying?
Well, not so much public knowledge, because the public were never informed. But
right, I mean the political knowledge, yes.
Yeah, that in terms of the president having oversight or having knowledge of what was going on, Eisenhower was the last one, and Kennedy was out of the loop. And what Kennedy tried to do was reassert executive authority over the UFO ET issue, and I believe, and many others believe also, that that's what got him assassinated.
So Kennedy knew about the ET issue, but he wasn't able to go public. Is that what you're saying? He actually knew about it?
That's right. Oh yes, he knew all about it, and he knew how control over the ET issue had been taken out of the chief executive's hands and into the hands of this privatized committee of appointed officials that he couldn't control. So he tried to implement a process whereby the information could be made public, and that, I think, is what got him into trouble.
But what evidence do we have that Kennedy actually did know about the ETs?
Well, He was in the U.S. Senate. There are reports that he actually was informed about some of the ET material, some of the UFO material, in the 50s when he was part of one of the Senate committees. I think it was the Foreign Relations Committee. But I think the evidence that I considered to be the most valuable is his memoranda to the NASA and to the CIA to start sharing information concerning UFOs.
Oh, really? There's actually a memoranda from Kennedy to the CIA saying it's time to share the information?
Yes, he asked, and the way he did it was he did it on the grounds that we needed to implement a peaceful space program with the Soviet Union. We needed to cooperate with the Soviet Union. So towards that goal, we needed to share information concerning UFOs. So he instructed both NASA and the CIA to begin sharing information with the Soviet Union, and only a week after one of those memoranda, he was assassinated.
So it actually has the word UFO on this Kennedy document. That's a fact. Yes?
I can't remember the exact word he used, but it was quite clear that he was referring to UFOs.
Wow, that's I haven't seen that, and I've looked through a lot of literature, and I wasn't absolutely sure that Kennedy did know, but it felt like the space program was a sort of implemented and somehow or inspired by UFOs in general, right?
Well, you know, many believe that that NASA was a public relations front for the real space program, which has always been run by the Air Force. And so the Air Force has the most developed technology. They have fleets of anti-gravity vehicles, that they have bases on the moon, on Mars even, are even capable of interstellar flight, that the Air Force has this incredible technology.
Do you really think they have bases on the moon and Mars? I mean, how do we know that?
I believe that that's accurate, simply because in the 1950s there was a lot of anti-gravity research that was being done, and then at a certain point in the kind of later part of the 1950s, the anti-gravity principles that many in the scientific community were saying was feasible and could be developed, all of a sudden it went black. In other
Wow.
words. In other words, it all became highly classified. This is in the 1950s. And there's stories, like, for example, Mark Cavendish was I think that's his name, just trying to recall it exactly, but he was one of the Disclosure Project witnesses, and he says that he was aware that in 1988 there was an air show at Norton Air Force Base where a number of hovering UFOs or flying saucers were observed by one of his business associates, and that they observed 1950s rivets on these flying saucers. So they've had these saucers since the 50s.
That's amazing.
That's right, and so that was at a classified area at Norton Air Force Base in 1988. They had these retired 1950s flying saucers just hovering there, so that was their old stuff. You can imagine their new flying saucer or ARVs, how they could operate.
So you can imagine if we had anti-gravity machines now, we wouldn't need any of the oil, gas companies to run our life, right? I mean, completely does away with that.
Well, you haven't needed that for close to 50 years now, really. What's been happening, though, is that the CIA and a lot of other front companies have been created to raise revenue for the black projects that have to be funded off the book, that have to be funded without Congress being aware and without any congressional appropriations. So they have to raise a lot of money, and they have to do it all covertly, and the CIA is the organization that does this, and so they create a lot of front companies, and the oil industry is something that the CIA is able to kind of milk for assets or for funds for these black projects, as well as a lot of other funding sources that they use.
But you're saying the CIA, the oil companies are a front company for the CIA to fund the black projects? That's what you're saying?
Well, the CIA is associated with a lot of front companies, and the oil industry benefits from the way in which the price of oil is manipulated internationally because of international conflicts and so forth. And the CIA has a direct hand in that, in manipulating or manufacturing international conflicts so that the price of oil can go up, can rise. And the CIA is able to attract profits from that in various ways. The oil industry is a vast industry that raises a lot of money, and some of that goes into the coffers of the CIA.
But the oil prices just went down now. What was the reason for that? You know?
Well, they do that to play geopolitics. Now they've allowed the prices to go down because basically it's exposed Russia, the Russian Federation, that they were making a lot of money from the inflated oil prices, and so they were starting to get aggressive in the international arena, as were Venezuela. And so this is the way the U.S. policy process works, at least at the covert level, is that the price of oil is manipulated so that they can at various times raise it artificially to make enormous profits, or depress it artificially so that competitors all of a sudden are in deep trouble because the price of oil is no longer going to sustain their commitments.
You know, I just saw the press conference the other day where Obama picked the new head of the CIA. He seemed like a really nice guy. Do you think there'll be some kind of change? Were you watching that press conference? I forgot his name, but...
Leon Panetta. Panetta is a really interesting choice. Panetta was Bill Clinton's chief of staff, and obviously in a position like that, he had to have a lot of authority, and he had to be able to run it a lot of people, and he had to be pretty tough. And I think that is the sort of person that really needs to go into the CIA as an outsider, because the thing is, the CIA... what happens is when presidents appoint outsiders, that is people who don't have any intelligence background or any association with the CIA, that the CIA kind of basically clams up. They don't share the information. And so that the really secret stuff that the CIA has, they don't share it with CIA directors who are outsiders. The last time that happened was with Jim Woolsey, who was Clinton's appointment as the director of the CIA, and Woolsey tried to find out what was going on at the CIA concerning extraterrestrial life, and Woolsey found out nothing, and he lacked the kind of mental toughness to take on the CIA bureaucracy. And I think Panetta was chosen because he is a tough guy, and he can really kind of push to get the information that he wants. So I think that's why he went in there, and I think he truly believes, as do many others in the Obama administration, in government openness, transparency, and sharing information. So I think it's a really good sign that Panetta was appointed.
But do you think Panetta's aware of the UFO ET situation?
Oh, definitely, yes. I mean, he was part of the Clinton administration at a time where Clinton was very interested in UFOs, finding out what was going on. He instructed, for example, Webster Hubble, who was a close associate from Arkansas, to go into the Justice Department as the Deputy Attorney General, and gave him authorization to find out everything he could on two issues: who killed Kennedy and what's going on with UFOs.
Yeah, but he didn't find anything out. Nothing came out of that. Clinton's still saying he's not sure about UFOs.
Well, that's true. Hubble couldn't find out anything about it. What Panetta was able to access was a lot of the information that outsiders were filtering through the Clinton administration. For example, John Podesta was part of this effort to try to get more UFO information released, and so they were behind Clinton's Executive Order 12958, which basically called for greater government transparency and openness, and required for more declassification of files that were unnecessarily classified. But the interesting person here is John Podesta, because John Podesta in 2002 went on the record saying that UFO information is real and the government should declassify it. While Panetta was Podesta's boss in the Clinton administration, Podesta and Panetta are very close. They're close friends. And so I think Podesta is actually the co-chair of Obama's transition team. So Podesta had his hand in this choice of who would be the director of the CIA, and I believe he influenced Obama to pick Leon Panetta.
So you think Podesta has also told Obama that, yes, there are UFOs? Do you think that he's onto it?
Not necessarily. There may have been some vague discussion of that, but I think Podesta's a pretty wily character. I mean, he was also a chief of staff under the Clinton administration, so he knows the way the system works, and he knows you've got to make things move in the political system. You've got to move in a roundabout way by appointing people in key positions, by having policies or legislation passed which promotes your goals, and then when you're ready, you can actually move forward with these kinds of issues. Because the UFO issue is a really big one. I mean, it's been sitting there for 60 years, highly classified. You know, people like Podesta, Obama, but the Clintons,
yeah.
Panetta, all of those people understand just how serious the UFO issue is and what happens if you probe too much. So now they understand that you have to set up the infrastructure, you have to put people in place so that you can take on this kind of secret bureaucracy which is keeping the UFO secret.
Oh, so it's like a chess match. But besides it being the biggest political cover-up, it's probably, as many people have said, it is the biggest question of humanity. Are we alone? I mean, of course, a lot of people have had experiences, but when it comes out that the government has been covering this stuff up and these beings are here, it will create an ideological revolution. It is just going to change. It's going to blow everybody's minds. It's like, you know, the three biggest questions of history: is the Earth flat? Is the Earth the center of the universe? And are we alone? Well, you know, it's like here we're suddenly find ourselves in a community of other civilizations, and we have to be ready for that, as John Mack would say, ontologically. It's ontological shock. I mean, the shock in our reality. And I don't know how to prepare for that unless, you know, I don't know how the public is going to prepare for that. It sort of happens in movies a little bit, but it's way different seeing a movie of something, like even a burning building, and seeing, like, you know, the World Trade Center fall down. You can't compare the shock of a reality to a movie. So how do you think people will make that sociological, psychological transition publicly?
Oh, well, that's a really good question, Alan. It's a difficult one because I think people are all over the spectrum on this. There have been polls done on how people would react if extraterrestrial life was announced to be real. The National Geographic did a poll I believe it was around 2005-2006, and the poll showed that 72% of the population would be enthusiastic and hopeful if extraterrestrial life was announced. So the majority of people would actually be excited by it. It'd be like, as you were saying, this is really big. This is going to change our lives in so many ways. Let's go for it. But then again, there was also a significant minority, around 10%, that were fearful and anxious about the prospect of extraterrestrial life being released. And this 10%, a lot of those would be closely associated with, say, religious groups, fundamentalist Christian groups, who would regard extraterrestrial visitors as demons, that they would see this as being what was described in the Bible, where during the end times, that the so-called Antichrist and his hordes would appear and fool people. And so there is that minority, about 10% of the population, who literally would believe that any extraterrestrials that came were demons, and that people that worked with them or wanted to communicate with them were being used by demons. And so this is a very significant minority. And so, yeah, you have people all over the spectrum. And
but
in the middle
church
of that, you...
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
And in the middle of that, you have the scientific community. In 1961, the Brookings Institute released a report to the U.S. Congress that had asked NASA to ask NASA to do a report on the peaceful uses of outer space. And in that report, the Brookings Institute identified some of the consequences of the discovery of extraterrestrial life, and they pointed out that of all of the segments of society, the one that would be most heavily affected would be the scientific community, because all of a sudden their most cherished theories and hypotheses would be basically outmoded, and that would lead to a lot of scientists essentially being very vulnerable, and they talked about, I mean, that raises the whole possibility of kind of like many scientists getting very depressed and suicidal because they've spent 30, 40, 50 years of a professional life kind of believing in things that really at the end of the day are kind of nonsense.
But, you know, that's always been true for science, you know, and it's just the fact that what most people believe to be true is nonsense, and that's the evolution of scientific theory. I know it's disappointing for scientists, but, hey, that seems to be the case throughout history, right?
I know
scientists won't like it, but I just want to say about the Christians, well, the Vatican came out and said that they were open to extraterrestrials, right? You've seen that document, haven't you?
Yes. That was an interview given by the chief astronomer for the Vatican Observatory in Rome, where he gave an interview to the Vatican's newspaper, and his name was is Gabriel Funes, and Funes basically said that a belief in extraterrestrial life is not incompatible with church teachings, and in fact, if extraterrestrials exist, then they are our brothers. And so he was actually making, I think, a very important statement that the Vatican feels that extraterrestrial life, if it exists or if it's suddenly announced, that there's nothing to be fearful from a religious perspective, that these beings are part of God's creation and our brothers.
So that sort of counteracts some of those people who might feel like this is the end of time and the demons have arrived and all that. That might help that segment of the population, right?
That's right, yes. I think these sorts of developments happen not without a lot of forethought, and I think the Vatican is playing a role to prepare the public for the truth to be disclosed. And
but before we get to disclosure, because I think that's the, you know, the big, big topic, how, why, when, but I just want to go back to the U.S. president, and, you know, it's, if Eisenhower knew about it, they say Nixon knew about it, and Nixon actually had that whole thing where he shows Jackie Gleason the crafts down at some base. So is there truth to that fact about Nixon?
Well, yes. Well, Nixon was Eisenhower's vice president.
Right.
And his daughter actually married into the Eisenhower family. Nixon was aware of the extraterrestrial presence.
Yeah.
And when he became president, I believe he tried to exercise some influence or tried to inquire as to what was going on, and I believe that this was one of the factors that got him into trouble. Watergate, I don't believe that was an accident. I think he was set up for Watergate.
Oh, that's interesting. I never heard that theory, but that could make sense. But supposedly he went and showed his friend Jackie Gleason, who was really into UFOs, one of these crashed saucers and a body. Do you know about that?
Yes, I've heard about that. I think it was Jackie Gleason's wife that said that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there'd be any reason for her to make that up. And it would kind of be in the personality of someone like Nixon to take a famous celebrity on a private trip and show him some of this classified material.
So Nixon probably was the last president that really had any firsthand knowledge of the situation, it seems, because, you know, would you say that's true? No one since Nixon has really had that inside understanding.
I think George Bush had a lot of understanding of what was going on. You know, he was the former CIA director,
uh-huh.
and he's been very heavily involved in a number of CIA covert operations, and so I believe he was recruited into the covert operations at an early point, and at some point given access to the ET-related information. One of the things they often do is if a president is appointed who is kind of like a loose cannon, like someone like Reagan, they will appoint someone, or they will make sure that someone who can watch him or can step in at any point is someone that they are happy with. And I believe Bush was put into power to basically make sure that Reagan didn't run out of control, and that if Reagan needed to be silenced at any point, that someone like Bush was on hand who would be reliable and could take over.
Well, that brings us to the big point besides disclosure is, who are they? Who is this secret government that, and who are they? Who's the individuals in that cover-up, shadowed land that's making those decisions? You know?
Well, that's a key question. I can tell you a little bit about how the whole system evolved and some of the key players in that. As to who's running the show now, that's a really tough question. But I know that initially the Rockefeller family had a lot of influence on how the whole ET technology issue was secretly developed behind the scenes, and how corporations would come in and play different roles in this. Nelson Rockefeller was actually the person. He was Eisenhower's special advisor, and he was the one that was responsible for the reorganization of government under the Eisenhower administration. So he was the one that put people in place and organized things so that these ET-related projects could be developed with private corporations in a partnership.
Uh-huh.
Everything would be kept secret in this kind of nebulous military industrial world. And eventually it was taken out of the hands of the chief executive, that is Eisenhower, and that meant that the Rockefeller family had more influence, because they were the ones that were basically responsible for setting up the kind of the infrastructure for how all of this technology would be doled out to different industries for development. And you have David Rockefeller, Nelson Rockefeller, of course. I think you have people like Henry Kissinger playing key roles, Zbigniew Brzezinski playing key roles. All of these people were involved in this kind of nebulous corporate transnational network of organizations that were increasingly taking over the way in which ET policy would be set and technologies developed. So
well, that would also make sense as far as the oil companies, because, you know, the Rockefeller fortune came from Standard Oil, so that might also be part of that connection, right?
Well, that's right, yes. You know, it's all tied in. So if the Rockefellers are the ones that are setting up these corporations that would secretly develop advanced technologies for kind of covert operations or the private industry, they would also need to have a lot of revenue coming in for some of their major industries, because the Rockefellers, as you said, are heavily into the oil industry, and so oil prices had to be protected or manipulated so that the Rockefellers would do well.
But then you get someone like Lawrence Rockefeller, who's really interested in UFOs, and it seems, what goes on there? Because he gave a lot of money to investigate it. He had his own personal interest, it seems. So what's that break between Lawrence Rockefeller and the rest of the Rockefellers?
Well, Lawrence Rockefeller is a very interesting person. There's a lot of information about him at the Presidential UFO website with Grant Cameron. Basically, Rockefeller described himself as kind of like the black sheep of the family, insofar as he wanted to do good, whereas the others wanted to do bad. And he wanted to really put out the UFO information or have it released, and he used some of his funds and his influence to make that happen. But he actually described himself that he was under certain constraints because members of his family didn't like what he was doing. But because he was a Rockefeller, he was given a certain degree of kind of leverage or space, but there were certain boundaries that he couldn't cross. So even he wasn't able to go too far.
So whoever was running it, the Rockefellers and maybe their descendants, they're still running it right now as we speak, right? This cover-up.
Well, that's right, because it has now become privatized. There's a really interesting, very significant statement by Ben Rich, who was the former director of Skunk Works. That's the Lockheed Martin Research and Development Unit. And he says that in 1969, that because of Nixon coming into power and something occurring during the Nixon administration, that control of the ET projects shifted from the military sector and moved into the private sector, and that an international board of directors took it over.
Really? So because what about Area 51? That's very military. Is it military and private together? I guess on the level of secret government, no one's really paying attention anyway, right? But what about Area 51 and some of the other...
Right. Well, but the way in which it works is that you have these projects being developed mutually by the military sector and these transnational corporations. But see, what happens is that even though you'll have military personnel being used and military facilities being used in conjunction with these transnational corporations, control of the projects themselves rests with the transnational corporations. There's a really famous incident that happened in 1997 that Stephen Greer describes in his book Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge, where Greer and Edgar Mitchell, the former astronaut, went to interview the Chief of Intelligence for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Vice Admiral Tom Wilson, and they gave Wilson the code words for these covert projects involving extraterrestrial technologies and said, well, you go find out if they're real and tell us what you can find out. Well, later on, when they got in touch with Wilson again, you know, he was shocked that he wasn't given access to these projects, that essentially, even though he was an admiral in the U.S. Navy and chief of the intelligence division at the Joint Chiefs of Staff, he was denied access by these corporations. So that shows you that control no longer is with the military, but is now with these transnational corporations.
Like which corporations are we talking about? Who?
Well, there's a few corporations that are mentioned. Science Applications International Corporations is mentioned as one of these chief ones. Corporation where Frank Carlucci was the former chairman, that's the Carlyle Group. There's other groups like the Kissinger Associates, and of course the Rockefeller family of corporations. I mean, all of these different corporations and groups are all part of this network of corporations.
You mentioned him before. He's really in there, isn't he, in the whole UFO cover-up?
He was in there because he was actually part of Project Paperclip. He was in Germany during the Second World War, and because he was affluent, he was part of the counterintelligence corps for the U.S. Army. He was fluent in German, and so he was stationed in Germany, and he was part of this group of counterintelligence corps officers and personnel that were looking for all of the Nazi secrets on UFOs and extraterrestrial life. And so Kissinger had first-hand experience of the Nazi UFO programs. So that meant that at a very early stage in his career, Kissinger had access to some really esoteric information. And so he rose very quickly through the covert ranks. He became the chief advisor to Nelson Rockefeller, very closely associated with David Rockefeller, and he rose very high up in the covert committees that had influence over these ET-related projects. I mean, he's very old now. I mean, he's in his 90s now, so his influence is waning. But still, he was one of the key people in all of this, and I think the fact that he regularly gave briefings to George Bush, and he's also been given briefings to Obama, President-elect Obama, shows you just how influential he still is.
Well, then let's bring it all up to the present. So you kind of laid the foundation and the history and the people behind the scenes. So it seems like now, while definitely the UFO issue is not going away, and I don't think what people are seeing are mostly military. I think they are the other, whoever they are. And it seems like possibly disclosure, as they call it, or something fresh and exciting can pop. Tell us that scenario. What's going to happen?
Well, I think what we're going to see is a gradual process, and it's already begun, in terms of just more openness towards the UFO issue. We're seeing, for example, the media showing an interest that they've never shown before, a serious interest, that is, that they're treating the issue more seriously than they ever have. Larry King and many other, the ABC have run specials, even conservative news programs like Sean Hannity have had specials on UFOs. You also have some very significant developments in terms of the FAA releasing radar transcripts of UFO sightings. The FAA released over 2.5 million radar sweeps of the Stephenville UFO that happened in January 8, 2008.
Yeah.
And that was a UFO headed towards the White House. So the FAA released this. So you're even getting government entities now showing more openness.
Right.
Academia.
Yeah, it was going towards the Crawford Ranch in Texas, that UFO. But why do you think now, and what's changed that it's having, or has the world just become really too small to hide a big secret like this? What do you think?
Well, I think that there are a few reasons here. One is the internet, the information age, just makes all of this classified information more easy to be distributed. It's hard to keep it secret now. There's a lot of whistleblowers coming forward, and everything they say, their interviews are instantly transmitted. So all of a sudden, the public are being educated about extraterrestrial life. The second factor is that the UFOs are just showing up much more frequently. They're showing up all over the world, showing up even over the Texas White House, and there have been sightings even in Washington, D.C. They're kind of fleets of UFOs in Mexico City, and so even the Japanese Parliament was having debates about UFOs. So UFOs are just showing up more, and there's more sightings, so the public are just becoming more accepting that UFO reality is real. And I think another issue is the state of the global economy. I think the current foundations of the global economy, oil and the kind of energy uses that we've been reliant on for the last 50, 60 years, I mean, they've about used up their shelf life. There's time for something new, the development of new transportation, energy technologies will actually help move the economy forward, and the collapse of the U.S. economy, or that the collapse of the global economy really makes it now necessary for a lot of these covert technologies to be released.
Mm-hmm. So how do you think it will happen? Will it come from our ET friends, or is the government right now, maybe with these people Obama has in place, planning an active disclosure? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I think the way they'll do it is in a way which will help people develop confidence in government, even though they're being told government has lied to them for 50, 60 years. So think about it. That's a quandary. That's a real dilemma. How can you tell the truth? Because because the truth involves you telling the public that you've been lying for 50, 60 years.
Right. That is interesting, isn't it?
Well, that's right. So that's why you have someone like President Obama that was allowed to reach high office. I think it's no accident that people like Zbigniew Brzezinski and even the Rockefellers were supportive of Obama getting into the presidential office. And Obama had a lot of support because I think that the people running the show understand that the biggest crisis that lies ahead for them is a legitimacy crisis, that if the U.S. government is to have any kind of legitimacy after disclosing the truth of extraterrestrial life and the UFO cover-up, you need to have someone like Obama in power who is the one taking charge of the disclosure process, and people have a lot of confidence and trust in him. And so I think that's why Obama was put in place. I think he is going to be the disclosure president, and I think that's why he's appointed these people into these positions of authority around him, because they are going to help him disclose the truth.
That's really exciting. And, of course, the other thing about Obama, he's a clean break with the past, in a sense, at least just visibly, symbolically, even though he's bringing some of these people into his administration that have been around. He is really a fresh, young face. And so that also can make those lies of the past a little more palatable, that it was them, not us, you know?
Exactly. Yes, Obama is a clean, fresh face with a lot of integrity. And I think it's also important to point out that he was born and raised in Hawaii. I just did an article there's a link on my website, exopolitics.org, which shows you Obama body surfing during his August holiday in Hawaii. You know, he really is someone that has these Hawaiian values that are part of his life. And he has said publicly that his upbringing in Hawaii has fundamentally influenced his values and his outlook on life. And Hawaii, people in Hawaii think differently to mainlanders. They're more open. They're much more likely to go with the flow. They are not people that kind of get too rigid or stuck in positions and they really are fresh in the way they approach life. And I think that is a very important indicator for how Obama is going to approach his responsibilities as president, that he will bring in, to a certain extent, this Hawaiian spirit of openness and freshness, and that's exactly what the U.S. needs.
The aloha spirit, as they call it in Hawaii, right?
That's right. Yeah, you got it, Alan.
Well, I spent time in Hawaii and Maui, but no, so if you think Obama's going to be the disclosure president, and it seems like he probably will, because I'm sure it'll happen. When do you think it will happen? In the next year? I mean, does he have to clean up the economy? I mean, how's he going to do it, and when? Do you think it'll happen?
I think he's going to move quickly. I think he understands the dangers in trying to move forward with this kind of agenda. That in the past, when presidents have tried to do it, Kennedy tried to do it, Clinton tried to do it, Carter tried to do it, that all of their administrations unraveled. In the case of Clinton, I mean, he did make it to a second term, but the second term was just full of scandal. And so his authority was just totally undermined. And I think that Obama understands the need to move quickly with kind of deliberate haste, but to also make sure that you have a kind of broad consensual approach, try and get as many people part of the process as possible. So I think we will move forward. It'll happen with deliberate haste. I think that's the right phrase for how the Obama administration will do it.
But doesn't he have to clean up the economy? He has to, you know, there's a lot of wars now. There's two wars, the American, and there's wars all over the planet. Don't you think people would say, let's talk about what's happening on Earth first and in the country before we worry about who's here? You know?
Well, that will influence the way he approaches this. I mean, for example, he could turn around and say, well, this UFO issue is very significant because these technologies display new energy sources. I mean, he could approach it from that angle, that the UFO issue can give us a new form of energy that can be utilized to replace oil and replace America's oil dependency. So that would be one approach. I mean, he could also approach it from the perspective of health. I mean, a lot of older people in the U.S. especially are very frightened by what's happening as their savings are kind of being eroded, their pensions disappearing because of the collapse of the stock market. What does this mean for their health? I mean, and if Obama can kind of show how the release of these this technology and information would lead to a revolution in the health sector that would also help people get on board. But this has to be managed very carefully because there needs to be support for this policy to move forward.
Well, it also has to do with everything you've just said about the secret government. These people have to come forward to Obama and say, guess what, kid, I'm going to tell you, and it's going to blow your mind, but this is it, and what are we going to do about it, and you're in a position. But I don't think those people have come forward yet. I don't think they actually even want to come forward. Of course, there's been talk in, you know, the UFO circles that there are some whistleblowers and things like that, but the main cover-ups, shadow governments are still in the shadows, it seems like to me and what I've read, right?
Well, there seems to have been a gradual evolution. I think there's been a kind of a dying off process here where the older generation who were really closely associated with the older policies of secrecy and a lot of really kind of nasty covert activities to keep it secret. A lot of those people are dying off. A newer generation is coming in, a kind of baby boomer generation is coming in now to these leadership positions in these transnational entities and these quasi-governmental organizations that run the show behind the scenes. And I've heard estimates that now, whereas previously a majority were against disclosure, now for the first time, kind of two-thirds are in favor of disclosure. And I think that's why
the shadow government people are in favor of disclosure.
That's right. Yes, that's what I've heard.
Wow. So, but it does still take someone who has ever been the leader or the inherited leader of that organization to come forward and kind of cross that bridge into, you know, the government, the not the covert but the overt government, and make that contact with the government, from the secret government to the visible government. Has that happened yet, or you think it will happen?
Well, yeah, that's going to be really a key question. What happens as we have a briefing process occurring? If you just hold on a second, Alan, I just have to switch phones.
That's okay. I'm going to just, we're almost out of time. I just want to tell people that I'm talking to Michael Sala, who is the author of a new book coming out. He's also part of the Exopolitics. And his new book is Exposing U.S. Government Policies on Extraterrestrial Life. It looks like a great book. So, yeah, let's just sort of wrap up, because I think that's the key question. Who from the secret government that's been keeping these secrets for 60 years, or when is this they going to come forward and probably approach Obama and Podesta and these inside people and say, guess what, it's time? I mean, that's how I see it. Is that how you're seeing it?
Well, that may have already happened. I mean, Kissinger is the person to watch in that regard. Kissinger did have some private meetings with Obama when Obama was... I can't remember if it was after he won the election or prior, but nevertheless, Kissinger has met with Obama, and I think that this is going to be the way in which he would be given the green light, that there would be a high-level meeting with someone from the secret government who does have a lot of authority. Kissinger definitely has that, and if he says, yes, go for it, and maybe he already has, then you would see the Obama administration moving forward really quickly. But what probably may have happened, because I think Kissinger would be one of those that is part of that one-third that is saying, no, we don't move forward, or move forward really, really slowly through a education process.
So Kissinger's he's part of that covert and overt government. He kind of crossed the lines, huh?
Exactly.
But you're saying he probably won't want to come forward, but there's too many people in that organization saying, it's time, the country's in trouble, this is what it's going to take, maybe, to pull the planet together.
Exactly, yes. I think those are the arguments that are winning the day, and those that in the secret government that want to keep this secret to the, you know, to the grave, to their graves anyway. I think they're just losing influence. And we're seeing with Obama and the people he selected that they're getting ready to move forward on this issue in a major way.
Well, I do hope it's going to happen. I want to finish my book so I can be part of that. I'm writing my own book about the nature of reality and UFOs and perception and consciousness. So I think it is going to happen. I think it will blow the minds of a lot of people who aren't prepared for it. But that's why I do this program, to prepare people for what's possible. And just give us a little summary of your book. I guess this show has been, but like how we can find it and just a brief little thing about it.
Right. Well, if your listeners want to find out more about the book, they can just go to my website, exopolitics.org. That's exopolitics.org. They'll find the information there about the book, and it talks about many of the things that we covered, but of course it goes into it in much more detail. It talks about secret agreements that have been reached with extraterrestrial life, where there have been technologies that have been exchanged and resources given to extraterrestrials. It talks about the secret underground bases with extraterrestrials. It talks about the way in which the CIA raises funds through a lot of these covert activities, drug running and so forth. And it talks about a lot of other things that are really how the US has been able to keep this quiet for close to over 60 years now. And so, and I recommend to your readers, to your listeners, to just look at some of the articles that I'm now putting out through my website, which is being published on the examiner.com website. And tomorrow I'm releasing an article which talks about how Obama is going to be briefed by his intelligence people concerning UFOs and extraterrestrial life. So you can find
Well, I think it's really exciting times. Thank you for all the hard work that you've put into, you know, making people conscious that there are other realities, and I guess it's a whole nother thing once it is apparent, once disclosure has happened, we are then suddenly in a new level of consciousness, just making room for extraterrestrials to inhabit our field of awareness. You know what I mean?
That's right. The world is changing, and I think people are now accepting that the evidence of extraterrestrial life is very real, very credible, and outlooks are changing, and more people are having their own personal experiences, and it's because of shows like yours and the efforts of a lot of people that I think now the public is ready for this secret to come out.
Well, thank you, Michael. Thank you again. Your website again is what?
Exopolitics.org.
Exopolitics. Exopolitics.org. Yeah, let's do another show after the book's really out and popular, and we'll go deeper into, you know, the agreements with these extraterrestrial races, and what I like to do is understand the shift in consciousness that will happen once this awareness reaches the public, and how the future will be different than we ever suspected it would. So,
I look forward to it, Alan. Thanks for having me on your show.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed your research, and we'll do another one. I'm talking to Michael Sala. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. You can email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. Also, check my website for an archive of all these BBS radio shows. That's newrealities.com, along with articles about all sorts of alternative ideas in health and nutrition and consciousness and spirituality and healing. And I've done shows on Bigfoot, so check it out. Also on YouTube, check out New Realities on YouTube. Thank you for listening, and come back next week. Thank you.